This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 185. The story is very gripping.
And that's not all that grips.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of our podcast.
Wave.
How are you doing? Did you have a good week?
No. Did you have a horrible week like me?
Your week wasn't horrible. Horrible would have been if anybody got seriously hurt.
It was a horrible week.
You had a week that was a pain in the ass. But you know what's not a pain in the ass?
Money?
Checking stuff out. Checking website. Stuff out on our website. Exactly. You can visit us at www.electricsisterhood.com or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.movie. That's ESH.MOBI. The short address will bounce you a long one and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. Please subscribe to the feed.
That way you can make sure that you always get the episodes in their entirety of awesome.
Mm-hmm. You can still plug us into an RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we also have some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. So make sure that you check them out because we'll get you covered for entertainment all the way through the week. You can listen to our shows, which come out every Monday. Then King Baby Duck, our very own homie, has his own other show that he does. Well, King Baby Duck does a lot of other stuff. But you can check out Boston Bass Brigade at bostonbassbrigade.com. Their new episodes go out every Tuesday. Then Getting You Through the Hump Day, whether you need a little extra hump or not, is Deuces Wild and Geek Aggro. So right there, we've got three great entertaining geek shows for you. And then to carry you through the rest of the week, there's all the stuff we have on the website, like Panda Told Ya, and the stuff that we Twitter about. So make sure that you're following us on Twitter. If you're not sure how to get a hold of us, just visit www.electricsisterhood.com/socialize. All the information you need to know is right there. How to grab us by email. Find us on Twitter. Also check out the YouTube channel and the Flickr channel. It's got some pictures.
We're everywhere. Yes, that was a lot of uploading.
Yes, like and most NASCAR. Places you don't want us to be. We're pretty much there, too. So with that said and done, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths first because...
Oh, by all means, go right ahead.
I'm just going to take the mic because, one, I've been drinking, so I need to get this all out before I can't. Not that I would forget, but it probably will come out poorly.
Okay.
My drink of choice, by the way, right now, Blue Moon. So yummy. Love beer. Okay, anyway. So, I've been playing Dante's Inferno because it finally came in. I've been waiting for this damn disc since the 9th of February, and it just finally came in. Thanks, Blizzard of 2010.
Thank you, Snowpocalypse.
Oh, Snowmageddon, how I hate you. Anyway,
Snotorious B.I.G. Snotorious S.N.O.W.
Well, it was a lot of snow, though, so I could go either way on that, but this Notorious B.I.G. really kind of gets me right there. Almost makes me want to pour a little out, but this is Blue Moons, and it's expensive, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay, then.
Dude, I can get delirium for almost as much as it costs.
Okay, Ninja, back.
All right, that's another podcast. We'll talk about beers another time.
Yes.
Dante's Inferno finally came in, and I got to tell you, I am still split on this game.
You're so spit?
Split. I'm split on this game.
So sometimes you're like, oh, man, it's awesome, and then, oh, man.
And other times I'm like, why the hell did I buy this?
I thought you didn't buy it. I thought you rented it.
No, I bought Dante's Inferno because I wanted the Divine Edition. which is on the PS3, which gets you some additional features, and it gives you a couple of free things, gets you free downloadable content that comes out for over the next couple of months, additional playable levels and things like that that are supposed to also enhance the story. So I figured I'd go ahead and grab that edition as opposed to just get the edition that I could play on either the Xbox 360 or PS3. So, finally got it, cracked it open, popped it in. First, my big pros about this game. The level design is just great. Okay, Visceral, which is part of EA, really spent a lot of time, and it shows in how they approached basically laying out each of the levels. So, if you're not familiar, it's based on the Divine Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was written by...
Come on, I've been drinking. You tell the people.
Never mind. Continue.
Thank you for letting me off on that one. Anyway, so Dante's Inferno is not a story as much of...
an epic poem?
Yes. The game, however...
It's not a poem?
It is not. It pulls from some of the visuals that are created in the poem, but they have crafted a story. You played Dante, who is a knight during the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
And he's off fighting the Holy War, and you first meet him as he's sewing himself back together. It's very painful, actually. It kind of made me squirm watching it. And he has...
Is it the scene from the demo?
Yes. So he's stitching a cross into his open chest.
Okay.
And the cross plays a big piece in the game and the storytelling, because as you move along in the game, there are flashbacks that Dante has, and you're drawn into this tapestry on his chest, and then the stories play out in an anime style. So it's a blending of... anime, as well as full motion video, as well as traditional gameplay elements that you're used to. If you've played God of War, this game does not play any different than God of War or Heavenly Sword. Okay, the quick time events are the same. They've changed the name of things, but the health pillars are the same as Kratos's health chests, and they're green, just the same. Magic is purple in Dante's Inferno, and it's typically blue in God of War, but you pretty much find these pots hanging around all
over. Yeah, but Devil Trigger and Devil May Cry is purple.
This is true. Now, with Dante, you have two paths that you kind of walk, very similar to the idea of Paragon and Renegade in Mass Effect 2. You can basically build up your unholy attacks or your holy attacks, or both at the same time. And depending upon how balanced you are or how much you tip one way or the other, you may be able to do some additional things in the game down the road. So Dante goes to hell. And he goes to hell for a woman. I'm going to warn you right now, I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this game for as far as I've gotten in the one day I've been playing.
See, guys, it's not me.
No, I'm just letting you know right now. This is Ninja Sister saying, if you don't want to know, and you haven't read up already, or you haven't beat it your damn self,
then
turn this off.
Listen to this show.
Because I'm about to spoil it. So,
go listen to one of our older shows.
Dante is in love with Beatrice. Yeah. And one of the things, and I believe it was in the demo, was the piece of them, you know, getting ready to get down to the nitty-gritty in front of his sword, and they're pledging to be faithful to each other.
Yes, and then he goes off to the crusade.
Yeah, and then he fucks up. He gets power hungry. You know, the cardinal that they're fighting under says that they'll all be absolved for all their sins. And he buys into it, and he buys into his lust. And he ends up fucking this chick, who's like, I'll let you have my way with me if you'll just let my brother go. And so Dante starts going off with this chick, and, you know, this other voice is like, no, don't, you have Beatrice, you have a woman. And he's like, I know what I have. And he takes this woman, and he screws her. And then, you know, he comes to his senses at the end of it and is like, Beatrice, what have I done? Well, you know, the devil, Lucifer, kind of had a feeling that he was going to slip and fall. So he made a bet with Beatrice. And the bet was about him being faithful. And if he broke it, then Lucifer could have her soul and her body. Because she just knew
that he would never betray her.
Well, of course he did. Okay.
Men and their penises.
I tell ya. So Beatrice is back home waiting for him to show up and return from the Crusades. Because she's absolutely sure that he will. He gets more power hungry. His dad makes a play for his wife. And just as that happens, this guy appears.
For Dante's wife?
Yep.
Okay.
And she's turning him down. Yeah, so Dante's dad. Yep.
Is trying to nail Dante's wife.
Yep, he's like, dude, if I know my son, he's already dead by now, so you should put them out of his mind. And then tries to, like, wipe her dress off her shoulder. And she jumps up and she's like, ah! And then this guy comes in.
Right.
And tries to kill them. First kill them. So he ends up killing Dante's father and taking this gold heavy cross with like heavy encrusted diamonds, like the kind that would make T-Pain really jealous, actually, and jams it through his eyeball.
Through his father's eyeball.
Yep. So if you remember in the demo, when Dante returns to the house, there's a man on the ground that has a cross through his eye.
It's his daddy.
That's his dad.
Well, that's what his dad gets for trying to fuck his wife.
Okay. And then he walks a little bit further and finds Beatrice out there dead. Well, you find out the reason why she's dead and was killed was because that guy, as you're seeing this in one of the flashbacks, goes, she wasn't my sister. She was my wife. So not only did Dante fuck some other chick, but he committed adultery on top of it because the chick that he fucked was some dude's wife.
Uh-oh.
And he exacted his revenge by killing Dante's dad and his wife.
Right.
So now,
I'm surprised he didn't fuck his wife. Dante's wife.
Well, you know. He had pretty much run the sword through her body. So you gotta be pretty perverted to fuck the corpse.
Well, never mind.
That's a different game. Visceral might make that, but that's not this game.
Right.
And so there's a definite focus of story of why Dante would go through all of the levels and the rings of hell
for this one chick.
He is hell-bent on getting Beatrice out of hell. And so she starts going off, why did you forsake me, da-da-da-da-da-da.
And so, I fought that other lady, blah-blah-blah-blah-blah.
And as you're progressing through these levels, you will come across souls, some that are placed in different spots, so very much like feathers in your Assassin's Creed, of if you get to them and you do something with them, you might get something down the road.
You can either absolve them or punish them.
Pretty much. And so as you pick up these souls, a little blurb pops up that explains who they are and basically the reason why they're in hell. So for some people, it'll say things like, you know, this woman was flogged every day by the people in her city. And so to exact revenge, she like killed all the kids in the city. And that's why she's now in hell and gets flogged every day by the kids that she killed. And then you get the choice to punish her or absolve her. Which right. then starts a soul mini game, which you can then basically get a multiplier of souls. The currency in the game is all soul based.
She was flogged.
Yes, and so then she took revenge on the city by like killing all
but
of the children.
Why was she flogged?
Doesn't say. Just that she was. And so it's pretty much a judgment call of you going, well, did she commit some crime to deserve the flogging? Or were people just, you know, thinking she was a witch and flogged her anyway?
Right. Okay. Logging, flogging, flogging.
It is. It is a sad, sad thing. But there are lots of mechanics going on in the game. And most of the time, they're fine because they're spread far enough apart that you don't feel like, oh, here's another soul I've got to absolve, or here's another soul I have to absolve. You can also absolve or punish the AI that you're playing on every single level. So it's not just these highlighted, specialized souls that you can choose to punish or absolve. Just about every combatant that you fight, you can get to a point where you can basically grab them with the scythe that you've stolen from the Grim Reaper and either choose to absolve them or punish them. And there are all kinds of different creatures that you're going to face. There are... You start the game off in limbo when you first descend into hell. And so there are all these babies that don't have hands anymore, but have these, like, blades, scythe blades, yeah, where their hands used to be.
Because unbaptized babies go to purgatory.
Yes, and they're all, like, disheveled and veiny, and they're really quick. And I hate them, but you pretty much get 10 points, either holy or unholy, based on whether or not you choose to absolve them or punish them.
If you just straight hate up, babies, everyone.
No, I just hate babies in hell.
They're not in hell. They're in purgatory.
Well, they're in limbo. They're not in purgatory.
Fine. Limbo.
Okay, as far as the game is concerned. Okay. And they suck because they're also in all the other levels. And they're just like freaking heel biters. And I effing hate them because they keep me from pulling off a lot of combos. So more times than not, I punish them.
Because they're in your way.
Because they are in my way. Yeah. But the thing about Dante's Inferno is that for me, the thing that is the most frustrating about the game is you cannot control the camera.
What else is new?
Normally in games like this, though, you can control the camera some. Like, you can move the camera around Kratos a little bit on level, so you can have an idea of and take a look of where you think you might need to go.
Right.
There's none of that. There is no camera control whatsoever. So you will have difficulty completing a level a lot of times because you won't be able to move the camera to see, actually, if this double jump is going to land you where you think you're going to land or not.
Right, okay.
And so I can't tell you how many times I've seen stanzas from the Divine Comedy, because that's what you see every time you quote-unquote die, because you can't really die, you're already in hell.
When you have to restart.
Right. And so you see stanzas from the Divine Comedy, and I can't tell you how many times I have seen stanzas. I'm so tired of seeing stanzas in this game. Then it's the thing that frustrates me just beyond belief about this game, because it could be perfect, because the story is great. Like, I really want to save Beatrice, even though I'm at the point right now where that bitch just tongued Lucifer in front of me.
She made a bet with the devil.
Yeah, but she was kind of still fighting it all the way along. As you progress through different levels, you actually see Beatrice swinging more and more towards the corrupted side.
Right.
Of things. So she starts out, she's still pure, she's naked, and is glowing blue. And then as you progress more and more in these levels and get glimpses of her, she starts adorning, you know, an outfit, more becoming the queen of hell that has thorns, that kind of, like J-Lo's dress from the Grammys at one time, like stripper boobs. And then there's also another ring that kind of looks like teeth around the area that would be her vajayjay.
And you fucked another dude's wife, and she was confident in you.
Yeah, but she's still fighting it, though, up until this one point. And Lucifer basically gives her an apple, it breaks and turns into seeds, and Dante's like, please don't do this. And she turns around and eats them, and then she goes all goth, and gets this, like, crown thing, and then fucking tongues Lucifer, and I mean slow tongue too. Not kind of like just a little, oh, you see them kiss like most video games. I mean, it was like a softcore porn kiss.
Like there was the brown chicka brown wow, brown chicka brown wow.
And, you know, there are lots of levels that are really very, you know, no pun intended, visceral on the visual for the level that they're involved with. You know, when you're in lust, the walls are kind of covered in penises.
What?
Okay, so
wait, what? In lust, the walls are covered in penises?
They're not, like, poking out at you, like, you know.
Well, they're not all erect penises.
But there are some.
There are some erect penises.
Right, so
where's the vaginas?
They're on the wall, too.
There are wall
and there are people that are like are joined together and they're wrapped around each other, but they can't quite reach each other for things. And
wait. So there are people entangled with each other, and their bits and bobbles are not bits and bobbling.
Correct.
What the fuck is what the fuck? What the
That's
fuck?
That's hell. You don't get to fuck in hell. You just get to want to fuck, but you can't do it because that's torture.
Oh, God, I don't want to go to hell.
Okay, so you get to one point and there's like a platform you need to move that's surrounded by these statues that are just penises.
Right.
With, you know, erect and veiny. But you would expect
and veiny penises.
You would expect to see that, though, in the lust level of hell. I wouldn't want to see Barney in the lust level of hell.
Okay. And if you do, then you've
then
got some
you know fish. Something's really, really wrong. But
yeah, but I would want to see some... Never mind.
Yeah, be careful. But
no, where's the titties?
Though there's titties. There's no lack for titties in this game. I will hand Dante that. It totally trumps the titty count that God of War gives you. It's just like, hi, here's a titty. When Beatrice gets killed, it's like, ooh, double titty, one titty, double titty, one titty. Oh, there are these like little banshee type things that you fight that the first time you meet one, she kind of like out of her stomach grows what looks like a uncircumcised penis. And it like reaches out and grabs you and then tries to like kill you. And sometimes she doesn't shoot it out of her stomach so much as she gets down on all fours backwards and it shoots out of her vagina.
Wait.
You heard me. You heard it.
Wait, she gets on her hands and knees. And
yeah, backwards.
Backwards.
So
her ass is shooting, her ass is in your face?
No, her pussy is in your face.
Okay, pussy's in your face.
Yep, and it shoots the thing out.
And shoots out an uncircumcised penis. That grabs you.
Yeah, basically. It's like a tentacle that comes out.
That's so wrong.
And it grabs you.
This is wrong even for me.
This is not a game that you should play in front of Eshmom. I would not recommend that. That is not how you want to go with it.
You're like, Amanda. Because everyone knows that that's my name. How delicious. Is that a... Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom.
And why is... Oh.
What kind of game is this?
What kills it for me about this game is that it could be perfect. I mean, the story is very gripping. You will want to finish the game. Because you'll want to see, well, what could they possibly throw me next in this next level? You know, what could they possibly do different, you know, as far as being stunning to me in lust, in gluttony? And gluttony is just disgusting. There are these, like, balls that have faces coming out that have teeth and they, like, bite down on things. And all the time when you're in levels, you hear people's inner thoughts, you know, some of the people that are imprisoned in that level. You know, in gluttony, you'll hear people, I'm so hungry, you know, just moaning and wailing in the back wall. And sometimes you have to climb these walls and you'll see people twisting and turning in these walls and they'll you know, shout out some of their agony to you. And it is kind of just jarring. But just as you start getting into it, you know, a bad camera thing happens, you know, and you got to replay a whole boss level now. Because you killed the boss and you went to double jump to the platform and missed it because you couldn't swing the camera around. You have to get in this one particular position in order for the game to decide to put the camera where it needs to be for you to make those jumps. And nothing is more frustrating to me when I'm having a really good time in a game to have that kind of mechanic fuck it up for me.
Mm. Okay, let me get a recap. So,
go ahead.
Lust has boobs, penises,
vaginas, tentacles popping out of vaginas,
uncircumcised penis tentacles, titties.
Yep.
Gluttony has.
Oh, and the main boss of that level, being Cleopatra, shoots some of the. Babies from Limbo out of her nipples and throws them
at
you.
Wait. Cleopatra shoots Limbo babies from her nipples.
From her nipples, yeah.
Is she like a normal sized person?
Well, initially, no. She's like a giant that's on the spear, which looks like a gigantic penis as well, that is like a coliseum, and you kind of fight your way up it. Yeah, and there are snakes that are involved, so, you know, even more phallic symbols. And then the last battle, she's, like, on the top, and she, like, throws up Mark Antony, and you gotta fight him, and...
She throws him up? She ate him?
He comes out of her mouth. She's like, and then it's, like, Mark Antony, but he's got, like, gold people that are wrapped around his body, and they're, like, pulling his face and stuff. And he's got a shield, so it's the first enemy that you face that has a shield. And so you start fighting him, and she's, like, on the side, and she starts holding her hand out, and it glows green, so she gives him back life. So you have to, like, fight her hand so she'll fall off the Colosseum and have to crawl back up it so you can take his life back down until you kill him. And then when you kill him, she gets small and she comes out. And she's like, no! And she looks back at what is supposed to be Lucifer. I was like, we had a deal, and this wasn't supposed to be how it ended. And then Mark Antony's like, you said we'd be together forever. And then he dies, and she gets all pissy. And then she, like, slithers up to you like a snake or some shit. And it starts a quick time event, which you're used to quick time events typically being button mashing. Well, quick time events in Dante's Inferno are a combination of button mashing and sometimes left stick moving, which is a pain in the ass because I'm getting ready to hit my X button and now you want me to go up, down, what? Oh, no, I died because she's kind of a vampire snake thing and she bites me and I die.
Wait, she's a vampire snake thing that shoots limbo babies from her boobies.
Yes, and when you kill her, if you do the quick time event properly, she basically gets on top of you like she's gonna fuck you and kill you. You roll her over, and then she starts getting all excited and grabs your hand and starts running your hand down her neck and across her boobs. And then starts, you know, making some orgasmic noises. And then you get a button mash to do a quick time event. And you see Dante thrust her, and you think, oh, he's fucked her, because... She throws her head back, and she's
He stabbed her with something.
Yeah, he stabs her with a scythe in the side, and then she disappears. But for about a good 2.5 seconds, you think, he's gonna fuck her?
I'm very confused. I think Dante learned the lesson that you don't fuck other people's women.
You really shouldn't. It's a bad idea.
You'll wind up in hell. The reason why he's there in the first place.
You know, so the visuals go along, and they definitely... try to stick to creating great visuals for these levels in these games. Because there's absolutely no denying that. But I gotta tell you, this camera mechanic is killing the experience for me. I want to get through the game because I want to know, am I going to get the choice...
to kill Beatrice.
Or to save her. And if I do, am I going to end up staying in hell? Or am I going to get absolved? Like, I want to know.
But I mean, if she was there when she went into hell.
But then Lucifer starts bragging about, ha ha, the uncorruptible has become corrupted, and da 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 da, and then he starts tonguing the bitch again. And then
tonguing her and he still hasn't fucked her.
Oh, but then he picks her up and carries her off, like they're about to go consummate the marriage.
I mean, I would have figured that Satan wasn't up for marriage, because, you know.
He's still like
that commitment and that stuff doesn't seem like something Satan would be all that interested in.
But guess what? He's Satan. Does he really have to be committed?
No. Well, I'm just saying.
What's going to happen? Is Satan going to go to hell if he commits adultery?
Well, I mean, he already lives there, so
exactly. He's the ruler, so who gives a shit?
Oh, okay. Is Satan ugly?
No, he's kind of like a smoke being with a 12 pack.
So wait, she tongues smoke?
Yes, because he's like, you know, like in Aladdin, the animated series, the genie was like not solid on the bottom, but kind of solid on the top.
Which says a lot for the genie. Anyway, yes.
That's how Satan is as a smoke
genie. He's like genie's bottom?
No, like genie. So on the bottom, he's like not solid and wispy smoke.
I'd like to know how he's fucking this bitch if he ain't got no woo-hoo.
Something tells me that he'll be able to manifest one.
It better be red hot and big.
It's Satan. What do you expect? I mean, come on. Lucifer.
Red hot and big.
You know, and that's one of the things that kind of bugged me as well, is that, you know, if you're going to go in and call this Dante's Inferno, go ahead and refer to hell as hell. okay? Go to hell. Go ahead and refer to Satan as Satan. But they didn't because they were afraid that they would get so much more pushback from religious communities that they just call it Lucifer. But he's Satan, for crying out loud.
I'm sure there's a lot of other things to consider, because even though they're reimagining the story, they were trying to hold to a lot of the concepts that were in the original Divine Comedy. I believe in the book, they don't call it hell. Like, but then again, the main character was a poet, so of course he'd have a lot more words at his disposal than probably Visceral. But yeah, they didn't call it. They didn't call it hell, and they didn't call Satan Satan in the Divine Comedy either. So, I mean, that might be them just trying to stay as close to the original concept as possible.
Yeah, you know, I look at it like this. I'm not going to say that I'm not glad that I'm upset that I spent the money to buy this game. But this, the camera mechanic is, it's just killing me. It's killing me. Because, you know, I don't know that I will really actually replay this game when I finish it.
Because, can I have it?
Girl, you got a job. Maybe I'll
send it to you. What? If you don't think I'm gonna replay it?
I don't know.
Game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Because the camera mechanic, it's worse than the Tomb Raider game.
Ooh.
It's that bad. It just, you know, there have been levels where I have died 6 or 7 times in a row just trying to get across a level. There's no enemies there. There's nothing that I'm fighting.
So it's a matter of, right, so it's setting.
Just, you know, I find myself wanting to flick the right stick to move the camera. Well, flicking the right stick is your dodge. So I end up, you know, walking off a ledge that I didn't know I could walk off of. Okay, like there was one mechanic, and I guess it's because I'm so used to, you know, the mechanic in a God of War, in a Devil May Cry, where, you know, you're crossing a bridge and there's that long cinematic and it starts panning out as you watch yourself get smaller and smaller and walk across the bridge.
Right.
Yeah, you can walk off that bridge and die and have to start all over again.
Oh, well, fuck that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's little things like that, and there are so many things going on in the game. I feel like they wanted to make it really epic, and instead they just made it really just full of shit. Like, you can build up the levels of your unholy or your holy side, and as you save more souls or garner more souls, you can buy more unholy or more holier attacks for your weapons.
Right.
Okay? And so on top of the piece of building up...
I know you can do that, but isn't there, like, a beast mastery where you can, like, ride epic beasts?
Yes. And so depending as you go through the levels, there are different beasts that you will do quick time events to take over and float through the levels. Okay, you then have kind of a guide through hell, which is Virgil. So you have to stop and talk to him. You have to stop at statues of Beatrice to do your saves, because there's no automatic save. So there's collection of relics, which you can use and then build those up, and they'll give you kind of a different abilities as well. So the ability to take less damage or things like that, or gain more souls as you go through.
Right, like a trinket. I get it.
Yeah. So there's that. There's the unholy, holy skill set building. There's the saving that you do. There's the stopping with Virgil. There's the absorb, the either punishing or absolving of souls. And there's the riding of beasts occasionally and getting through the levels. And depending upon how long you hold the beast or use the beast, you may get through the level faster, but you may miss out on some...
all the other things mentioned below.
And then on top of all of that, so on top of those 7 things, there's also the regular gameplay of getting through the game. I'm overwhelmed. And I don't know
it seems
it's
a little compounded.
It does, and I
convoluted,
I think,
even.
I think if you stripped a couple of those things out and gave me a better camera control, this game would be, you know, a fucking 10 for me.
I think they just wanted to give you more options than God of War, so that, because I mean, a lot of people already are saying, oh well, this is God of War, but with a different faceplate.
You know what? That's okay if things are like something else. All right, you know, if you play any kind of RTS game, it's going to be like every other RTS game out there.
Well, because the minute it strays from the original, everyone's like, it's not a true...
Exactly.
It's not a true this, and it's not a true that.
So it's not a bad thing to say that a game is like God of War. It just means that it's a good action adventure title. That's not a bad thing to have things in common with it. I mean, there are things that are blatantly in common with just about every other action adventure game on the market. In this game. So, you know, embrace it, but make it your own. And I feel like they're just like, well, you know what? We're just going to throw all this stuff that God of War doesn't have on top of it so that you can't say it's like God of War. And you're right. I can't say it's like God of War. It's not perfect.
Would you honestly say God of War was perfect?
I think, so playing God of War 2, can you think of anything negative, like right now, off the top of your head, about God of War 2?
I sucked at it.
Because they worked out the camera issue from one.
Yeah, they did. You're right.
Okay. They worked out the glitching issue where you would fall through levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they still had all the game mechanics that you wanted. I think that they introduced some new weapons in a way that just didn't feel like it was added on. Okay. The wing ripping off a griffin thing was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't think of a negative thing right now off the top of my head about God of War 2.
Yeah, me neither, okay. All right.
So as far as an action-adventure type game, with the elements that it was using, I would say that God of War 2 is near perfect that type of game that you could get, and which was the reason why I was so excited to think about where 3 was going to be.
Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we?
So Dante's Inferno for me. Huge rental. Rent it.
Purchase. Rent it. Flip a coin.
Purchase, I'm still up in the air. You know, when I finish the title, who knows maybe where I'll be. But right now, a big 60% of me wishes that I had rented it, not bought it.
Right.
Right now. Now, I may fly through the rest of this game because right now I just, like I said, I watched Lucifer walk off with my chick. I'm leaving anger, which I think is like the fifth or the sixth ring. Might be six because I already did greed. So I should be getting close to the end. And who knows? I might finish the game and be...
So wait, how does the level, like the levels work? So you go limbo, purgatory.
So you go limbo.
Mm-hmm.
From limbo, you go into lust.
All right.
From lust, you go into gluttony.
Okay.
From gluttony, you go into greed.
Mm-hmm.
From greed, you go into anger.
So the last level is pride?
Should be.
Okay.
Which would make sense because...
Lucifer is so arrogant, it's unbelievable.
Right,
he's
and he's about
woman.
Got you, exactly. So... right now, I'm in the city of Dis, and I'm riding this big, like, big beast thing, which is pretty cool. It's kind of like riding a behemoth thing in Gear Wars.
Okay.
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 Yeah. So you get a couple of moves.
Oh, a Brumac.
Thank you. Yeah.
Brumac.
Yeah. So you basically get to... This is really good beer, by the way. You basically get to stomp all the little enemies, or smash them with your hands, and then depending upon which beast that you're riding, you can also breathe fire on them,
nice.
Either in a directed shot or
you're part
fire
drag.
And aim. You know, so there are a lot of really good ideas that are in the game, but the camera thing's killing me. It's just killing me. There are times that I've like wanted to throw my controller across the room.
Well,
I keep finding myself going, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, of course, of course. And
right.
Now let's try it again. Oh, no, yeah. Why would I want to do that? It's not like I want to finish the level. Right now,
I would have loved to have seen that.
I'm a little bitter about it. But right now I'm in the city of Dis, and I believe that when I get through the city, which is massive, it's huge looking from the outside, I should be heading to Pride. So I should be right on the heels of finishing the game.
Yeah,
by the time this episode goes out, I probably will have it finished. And I don't know. The finish may make me change my mind and be happy that I bought this
thing. I think you should kill the bitch. I mean, she's already dead, but I mean, I guess you should. I think you should absolve her and make her go to heaven so she can't get with Satan no more.
And I don't think that she wants to get with Satan. I think that she's just an honest person, so she's abiding by her rule. But I think that Satan sent that bitch for me to fuck. Right. I think we just got played.
Probably. Yeah. But still, then she should go to heaven, and in heaven you don't have sex, because it's a sin unless you're procreating, and when you're dead you can't procreate anymore. So it would just
You don't know that.
No, you can't have babies in heaven.
You don't know that.
You're dead.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
That's, you know, after life. They'll call it after death.
Fact.
Mm-mm. You're dead. You haven't been dead.
Form. You don't have a solid form in heaven. You are a spirit.
You don't know that. Like, how do you know that?
I know that.
Every movie I see, everything that's in heaven looks like people.
Yeah, but that's because they want to make us feel good about the fact that when we die, they think that's what we're going to look like to make us feel comfortable.
Well, you know what?
We're going to look like
people. I haven't been to the afterlife, so I can't, you know, comment on it. But what I will and can comment on is Dante's Inferno is a rental at most for me. And I'm really, really sad to say that because I was really, really looking forward to this game.
I'm sorry.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10?
7? 6?
6.5.
Ooh.
The camera mechanic kills it for me. When I have to...
All right, minus the camera.
If the camera had been fine, if I could control the camera, it'd probably be 8.5.
Okay. Okay. I get you.
But it kills it for me because there are levels where I should have just flown through the level with no problem as far as taking on enemies, knocked them out, no problem. Getting to the damn lever so I could leave the area, died 10 times in a row because of camera. That's just not acceptable.
I can just imagine the hate that was flowing through your veins.
Oh, you cannot imagine.
Oh, yes, I can. I play Demon Souls. I can imagine anything.
So that's pretty much what I've got. What about you? What do you want to talk to the people about this week,
Pam? Well, I haven't been able to delve too much into anything because, like Ninja stated earlier, I finally got a job.
A J-O-B!
Nice full-time J-O-B.
It pays you.
It does. So, I mean, I've been coming home really tired because there's a lot of information that I have to learn. But, I mean, I've come to realize that, you know, coming off of a 40-hour, you know, job.
That shit ain't easy, is it?
One, it's not easy. So I full on respect you guys who've been doing it longer than I have, which is pretty much everybody else in this planet who has a job. But I've come to realize, you know, that this week, you know, like there are a couple times I'd come home and I'm like, man, I think I want to jump into Mass Effect 2. And I just didn't have the ump for it because one, as we know, Mass Effect 2, you know, you gotta listen to everything. You gotta be involved in the conversation.
Everything.
And sometimes you just want to pick up a gun and you just want to shoot something. And you want to be blank mind because your mind's been spinning all day. So I mean,
yes.
Where are the simple games that give you whatever pleasure you're looking for? And I should have used a different word than that. But where can you find a game that will give you what you want for that day? So I mean, I got a game on my PS3. I've been showing it some more love than normal.
Right.
And apparently there was an offer going out that, you know, they were giving away Flow. Only for a day.
Ooh, I love Flow.
And I mean, a lot of people who, you know, have had a PS3 since the era of PS3s probably already bought Flow. But for those of us who heard about it or played it through, you know, a third party like me, who got the opportunity to get it for free, especially because at the time I didn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, oh, great, now I can actually really, you know, delve deep into this game. The only problem is, you know, there's depth, but not depth in the game.
So why don't you explain the game a little bit, in case there are people out there who don't know.
So think pre-Spore. You know, if you ever played through the first stage of Spore, you're like this little amoeba thing, and you're growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got like this little moon, you know, crescent that's kind of your mouth and your face. I mean, you don't get a lot of features, but you assume that's your mouth.
Right.
And this little, and your little tail. And you know, when you're in the first level, and it's all, I think it's six axis, it's motion.
Yes, all you got to tilt motion.
You got to tilt.
Motion control. And tilty.
And pretty much they say, okay, well, you know, flick up to move this way, and you move. You don't hit any buttons. And you have to eat things, which is the same goes for Spore. You got to eat things. In Spore, you have to decide if you're going to be a herbivore or a carnivore, and then depending on which way you're going to go, you eat those colored, associated bumps or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And granted, none of the bumps really have a lot of color and flow, but still, you eat a piece and you get bigger. So, there are certain pieces that are bigger, so they'll make you bigger, a lot bigger than other pieces. And then eventually you'll get a little amoeba thing in the area that will shoot you lower in the level. So you do go down, you go deeper.
Yeah, but the thing about flow that's really interesting in the mechanic is that it's both a visual thing and an audio thing, because there are different sounds that play depending upon how big you let your animal get, or, how small.
I'm not that big yet. But, I was just trying to calm down the day that I put it in. I was having a bad.
It's a very soothing game to do.
It is. To do that. She's very correct on the audio. Like, it was like, life can be simple. And this game proves it. Like, I can still enjoy swimming around trying to eat things and trying to grow and expand and seeing how far deep into the reaches of, I want to assume, the ocean.
Yes.
I am. And I'm like, up, and it's like, up, and later on, depending on how big you are, eventually you'll come across animals that are a lot bigger than you. They will try to eat you.
Yes. That
happens in Spore also. Obviously, if you maneuver around them and you can take out the smaller parts of them, which are denoted by like a lighter blue than the rest of them, you can break off parts and eat them. You can, kill them and be bigger and dominant and move on to another area. Like, I was in an area. There was a large guy swimming around, and I got all the free nodes away, and he just kept trying to bite me. And I accidentally hit the little red node guy who brought me down to the next level. And there were, like, these jellyfish-looking things.
Yes.
And they ate the ever-loving crap out of me, sending me back up, which I then got eaten by that guy and then eaten. And I got, munched on by that guy. That sent me up to another level where there was nothing there. And I was like, okay.
So have you noticed that as you go deeper and deeper in the levels, the water becomes darker and darker?
Darker and darker, yes. And the animals get bigger and bigger. Yeah.
You will eventually get to a point where you will evolve into a thing that kind of sort of looks like a dolphin.
Really?
Yes. But on the level, everything that can do you harm is red and kind of has a face and comes after you and, like, spin attacks you and shit.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes.
Needless to say, even though these jellyfish things, attacked me and I got picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And, then the other thing attacked me. It's not a game that you can actually really kind of get mad at, because you're like, all right, I'll just eat a few more things and I'll try it again. It really does set the mood.
Yes, I agree with that.
So games like these might be great for those days that you're having, like, a really bad day and you want to play something, but you don't want to be too involved in what you're doing.
Now, you said that it was only available for free for that one day. So what's the regular price for Flow? Just in case anybody out there wants to pick it up.
I don't know. I got it for free.
way to be a voice of information for the people, Panda.
Wait. I was talking about the experience. I ain't trying to sell nothing.
You not in sales?
No.
You just sell the sizzle, not the steak?
No, I was just sharing my experience.
Mm.
If they're interested, they can look it up on the PSN. They're not dumb. Are you guys dumb? I didn't think so. All right, then.
All right.
So I played that. Anyway, as we already, I'm a Rez fan.
Yes.
You can kind of tell by my gamer score on Rez 5 just how much of a Rez fan I am.
Yes.
And they finally started to release the new episodes for downloadable, for download, I think for the PSN and 360 fairly recently. Mm-hmm. So you get Lost in Nightmares, which is, a new chapter, and Desperate Escape. And believe it or not, they've added some more characters to the lineup.
Okay.
All right. Correction. Desperate Escape hasn't come out yet. Lost in Nightmares has.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on. So, I mean, there were some press releases that came out that let us know that one of the characters that they were releasing was Excella Gione. And I know, Ninja, you played it a little bit, but you didn't play too much of it, so I don't know how far you got in the game.
Dude, I didn't get past the chain link fence on the first episode mission thing.
Dude.
I kept trying to turn around to shoot things, and it was like, you have died. I was like, oh, awesome.
You hurt my soul.
No, you hurt my soul. You were supposed to play with me, but then you did.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, I still have it.
All right, well then.
But you ditched me for other people. You were like, I will be your shield. And I was like, I'm ready to play. And you're like, oh, I can't play. And you were playing with other people.
I will play with you. And we will get, man, I will get you everything. I will hook my sister up.
That's what you said last time, so
I won't
hold my breath.
No, but I mean it now. I'm a working girl now. I honor my promises. Anyway, so Lost in Nightmares has come out. So, yay, more content with more achievements for me.
Yeah. Achievement whore much? Yes.
Anyway, so they announced, you know, for Mercenaries that we were going to get some more characters. Excella is one of them. You don't know who she is, but those who have played the game do. Well, see, you're not going to be all that excited about it because, one, you didn't play the res.
Go ahead, I'll feign excitement.
Okay, so not only are we getting Excella from Res 5, but we're also getting Barry Burton. See, I know you're faking it. It's okay. It's all right. You don't have to fake it for me.
All right. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, I would fake it for you.
So, I mean, I'm very excited about this because, you know, honestly, I don't know how they're going to incorporate some of these survivors that they're bringing from the original game. And, you know, into this mix. I'm very excited. Obviously, I think they're only in for the mercenaries anyway, and I don't see how they're going to incorporate them into the story, but still, it's nice to see familiar faces.
Well, let me ask you a question. How big do you think getting DLC like this for a game is going to be as far as driving more replay, driving brand awareness?
Oh, well, I mean, since this is an established franchise that, like, people flocked for 4 and loved 4. I mean, sadly, a lot of people were slightly disappointed with 5 because I think the co-op element, even though people like the fact that, you know, they had a partner in on this, I still think some of the settings over there in Africa weren't scary enough for people to really embrace it as an action, you know, a survival horror. I think it was more of a, you know, an action survival, okay, which is all fine by me. But I mean, you know, some people are sticklers for their genre. So, I mean, but people who really like the franchise and have played it since the beginning, you know, who have 5, played 5 completely through, are going to be like, oh, man, it's going to be kind of nice to see them reimagine Barry or reimagine Rebecca Chambers because she's coming out, I think, as a character through Desperate Escape.
Okay.
So, I mean, people are going to be excited to see them. I mean, people are very excited to see Jill, even though they made her look like a 12-year-old boy, but I'm not going to go into that. You know,
Jill Valentine, 12-year-old boy.
She's not. Well, they made her look like a 12-year-old German boy. Because I think that's how Wesker likes it. And that's okay, Wesker. Like it how you want it. Like it how you want it. But, I mean, not only are we getting, you know, these 2 episodes, these 2 new characters that will be playable in Mercenaries, but we're also getting some more costumes. I mean, I don't think costumes, you know, like when they give you new costume packs, that those tend to drive a lot of sales. But when you start giving more missions and more, like, game content,
okay,
that you'll see more of a drive. So the fact that they're giving you the whole scenario so you didn't play it so you wouldn't know, but they show you a really great cinematic scene with Chris and Jill in the Spencer estate when you first, you know, see Wesker in his bondage outfit and he pretty much takes the varnish off of a desk with Chris's back. But now they're going to make that playable.
What? Wait, Wesker did what?
You got to play it. All right, in the cinematic, because you see a flashback of what happens to Jill. Mm-hmm. And let's assume you're playing Chris, because I personally don't play Chris. I'm a Sheva all the way. never going to happen. I don't have any of the achievements for Chris, actually, because I refuse to play him. But anyway, so you're in the Spencer estate, you're with Jill, and you get to the main room that Spencer's in, and Spencer's an old man who wants to be a god. And he essentially, his family owned Wesker's family. There's a whole big backstory that I'm not going to go into because, one, it would take too long. And anyway, Wesker kills him and was like, you try to make a god, and now I'm going to be one, and kills the old man. And just as he's doing that, you step in with Jill, and he pretty much, because, you know, Wesker's like, you know, super uber human-ish, and he super speeds at you. You know, he pretty much grabs you by, like, your weird harness thing, and, like, there's a desk, and he, like, runs you across the top of this desk, like, as fast as I would swipe an Amex card if I had one.
Yeah, okay, I know that's
across this desk, and literally, because it's like mahogany, or fake mahogany as it looks, because he pretty much wipes the varnish off the top of this desk with you. And Jill, all self-sacrificing, you know, jumps and pushes, you know, Wesker out the window with her, and you think that she's dead, and, I mean, the fall's pretty big, so you'd assume that she'd be dead, and, you know, whatever, but as we know, she's not. So, I mean, they make that whole fight playable. Now, granted, you already know what the result's going to be since we've seen it. Right. But at least they're making that playable. They're also making, in Desperate Escape, at one point after you beat Jill, well, I mean, you save her, essentially, because she's being mind-controlled by this weird big bug thing that's kind of implanted in her chest that you kind of have to rip out. It's actually really cool to do if you have a really great partner. It's really awesome. Or you can just try to shoot it off of her, which, you know, if you miss, you can kill her, which isn't the right way to do that, even though I thought it was fun. I did. I shot it with my hand cannon, and I'm like, okay, can't use the hand cannon. Because it can't.
Why did you think you could use a hand cannon to shoot it off her chest?
Well, for one, I thought the hand... Well, it's not actually a cannon. It's not really a cannon. It's I can't remember the gun now. It's one of my favorites. So. It's a Magnum. There it is.
Yeah, that's still a hand cannon. Thank you very much.
Well, apparently, actually, a friend of mine went and looked up this actual gun, and apparently it says it could stop a rampaging elephant. Yeah. So, it's a pretty powerful gun.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it shoots right through her. Yeah, so don't use it. Especially if you're a professional, because God forbid you miss and you hit your partner, he's dead. But anyway, after you save her, you know, she kind of entrusts Chris to Sheva, and I'm like, blah, 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 whatever. I've been his partner the whole fucking game. I really don't need your consent, bitch. But at one, you know, she disappears for that point until at the very end when you're, you know, shooting rockets at Wesker in a volcano.
You fight in a volcano.
If you're Chris, you punch boulders and they conform to your will. I mean, some of the things are really out there. But by the time you get back there at the very end, Jill shows up with Josh. Josh is like the black equivalent of Chris, except not nearly as thick-necked and probably not nearly as strong.
Uh-huh.
And they're in a helicopter. But you don't know where the fuck did Josh get the helicopter from? Where the fuck did Jill show up? Like, how long have they been together? What have they been doing this whole time that we've been fighting?
They've been chilling at Diddy's place.
Yeah. Like, I would always ask whoever I was playing, I'm like, I wonder what Jill and Josh are doing while we're fighting Wesker in this volcano. You know, like, hello. And Desperate Escape is actually going to show them meeting up. I guess they're going to fight something or someone that turns into a something.
No, they're just going to fly a helicopter around.
Oh, probably lots of zombies and manage to get to, you know, a helicopter that has rocket launchers on it that will, you know, they'll know exactly. I don't know how they're going to find the exact volcano, but apparently they do.
There's probably not a lot of volcanoes where they can hear gunfire.
Yeah. But needless to say, they're going to open that up. So, I mean, finally the story will feel more cohesive than it did originally. which I
they
like.
They fought in a volcano. How much cohesion did you really expect?
When you play it, you'll understand. We will play it, I will be your Sheva, and you will understand.
You will be my Sheva, and I will understand?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yep.
You understand.
That's the condition playing with me. You have to be Chris.
I'm Chris.
Okay, then. I'm really excited to, you know, once I get my first paycheck, I already know the first things I'm doing.
Yes.
Getting rid of my debt and buying this.
Well, that seems to be the plan.
Right, same day. Absolve debt, get this. Great. Break even. Do a really, really good deed for my conscience and my checkbook, and then do something very rash with my checkbook.
Yeah, because that's pretty much the American way.
That's how I roll.
All right, so I got another question for you, because I saw this comment made by the president, and it's kind of been sitting on me.
Okay.
So Obama made the statement of how our kids are playing video games while kids in other countries are learning science and math to make video games. And I thought it was a really powerful comment to make on the state of education for the youth and, you know, really where technology is going. Because I think that it's a fair statement. I mean, you look at the gaming industry, and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Okay, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars made in making, selling games.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, and accessories and things like that. We just in the last couple of years have real accredited brick-and-mortar schools creating
for game design
and game design programs to allow people to get degrees in making these things, you know, other than just going to ITT Tech.
Mm.
You know, so my question is, why are we not putting more emphasis on the math and the sciences for our kids that show sparks of creativity early and choose game development as a possible career path? Because there's definite money to be made there.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think that we don't have people over here who went to school, who are computer science majors, who are doing double majors in, you know, computer science and then game design and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I think we have that here, but I think that a lot of people who want to get into the field, for one, they don't know the proper channels to even start. They know they want to do video games, they know what they should go to school for, but then they don't know what their next step should be. And then, you know, you get a backlash for playing video games anyway. Oh, you're older now, you shouldn't be playing video games, you're an adult, get an adult job. Creating video games and creating products is an adult job. But I mean, some people still, you know, attach a stigma to it. And then, you know, there's the whole opinionated deal, and what you think is creative and genuine and good might not be perceived that way. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, different opinions about the subject. Now, I mean, like over in Japan and China, oh, it's lucrative, you know, and media and technology is like in the forefront of Japan. Like, I'm not saying that that's what they're all about, but I mean,
there's a definite focus on it.
Yes, exactly. Now, I mean, over here, yes, technology and media are something that we want to be one of the big powers in, but it's not what we want to dominate at all.
I want to dominate it.
Well, regardless.
Media, damn it.
So, I mean, I think it's a matter of focus, which is, you know, the point that you made. So, I mean, places like Japan, you know, their focus is really different than over here. And currently, right now, here in the U.S., our focus should be, oh, my God, a lot of people are without jobs. Let's create jobs so that, you know, we can stimulate our economy and then focus, you know, and then redirect our focus into something more positive. But we're not in the mindset right now as a country for that. We're not stable enough for that right now, I think. I mean, I'm not an analyst. I haven't analyzed the U.S., I mean,
You should analyze the U.S.
I'm just
it needs analysis. It should.
I'm just a girl with an opinion.
Well, I want to know your opinion, guys. So hit us at questions@esh.mobi and let us know where you fall in on the topic. And, you know, we'll share some of your comments on the next episode of the show or on a post or, you know, wherever we decide to put
it. Or on Twitter.
It could definitely wind up.
Or maybe I'll go more into this in the next YouTube video.
Very possible. Very possible.
Indeed.
So make sure that you visit us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address does bunch in a long one, so you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader. Oh, don't forget to subscribe when you're in iTunes, guys. We need more subscriptions.
Yes. Now. Get our sizzles.
Now.
Okay. Now.
RSS reader, like I said, you can plug us into any podcast search engine. And we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Typically, the episodes are out on Wednesday, unless they've changed it over to Monday, and you can either find it at 8:30 on Wednesday Eastern, which is 5:30 Pacific, or you can find it at 11 Eastern on Monday, which is like 8 Pacific. Don't know which, not exactly sure, but when you're listening to our show, if you're doing it over at All Games, make sure that you stop in early and listen to some really great shows, like Dead Pixel Live.
And Gametopia.
And, you know, Bobby Blackwolf is still the man.
Fuck yeah.
And then you can also check out the shows that we've got coming out of our camp, like the Boston Bash Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck, which is so much fun, and new episodes come out every Tuesday.
Did you just say fudge?
Fun.
I thought you just said fudge.
No, I said so damn fun.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I didn't say fudge.
Well, you just did.
I mean, now I said fudge, but before I didn't say
fudge. I swear I thought you said fudge before. It doesn't matter.
You know what does matter, though? Check out Boston Bash Brigade, bostonbashbrigade.com. Their new episodes are every Tuesday. And you can also check out Deuce's Wild Show, which is Geek Aggro, every Wednesday. You can hit us up on our Twitter accounts. You can hit us up on the Facebook. You can hit us up on the YouTube. You can find all that information on how to hit us up on those places at www.electricsisterhood.com/socialize. So with that, Panda, I gotta ask, do you have anything you need to disclose for this episode?
I want to disclose that Fridays are awesome.
Okay. That's a good disclosure. I agree.
What about you?
I would like to disclose that Blue Moon is the non-official awesome beer of Electric Sisterhood. And it's yummy in my tummy. And I should get more of it because it is yumtasticers. So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out, folks.
Bye, guys.
Toodles. So guess what we got for you now?
Clips!
That's right, some more of the interviews from CES.
Rack 'em up!
In this, Ninja talked to Spec about their CorePak Fly messenger bag.
CorePak is TSA friendly, so when you go through the airport, you flip it open like that and it lays flat. Right?
Fantastic.
Then you pick it up and it goes right back together. Then when you put it up into the above the seat, you can still have access to your laptop without actually having to.
That's neat. That's really cool.
What our favorite part is, let me have your other hand. Let me have your hand.
Okay.
Put your hand in there.
Okay.
Wouldn't your laptop sleep well in there?
Yeah,
isn't
that's
that
really nice padded.
So,
that's
there you
fantastic.
Go. And then it's got all the big things in here.
I love bags. I'm a big messenger bag whore.
Okay, so we both kind of inherited that from Tom.
I love messenger bags. I have like 15 of them.
I have so many bags that I have been told that I really can't bring any more into the home, and yet that still does not stop me. But what I loved about this bag from Spec, and I am going to disclose that they gave me one to review, which I am still testing right now. And the tests are going well, people.
Wait, they gave you a bag? I want a bag!
we'll get a job. And then you
WTF! BBQ!
Hey, look, I tried to get you to go to CES. I offered to
give me the bag!
And fly you.
I want the bag.
And have the bag.
I want the bag.
But what I love about the bag, like you said, is that it's TSA compliant. So it has a complete separate section of the messenger bag in the back that is a padded area that you zips on the side. So you can put your laptop, slide it right in there on its side. So this way, if you have it in the overhead compartment, you don't have to take your bag all the way down. You can simply open up the zip slider and then slide your laptop right out. And it opens up in the middle.
It's a padded compartment that you can slip your laptop out?
Yes. So rather than having to have a padded sleeve that you would then put into your messenger bag in order to give your laptop a little bit of extra padding, it already has a padded separate compartment built specifically just for your laptop. And it can accommodate a 15 to 17 inch laptop. And the zip compartment doesn't zip on the top of the bag, but zips on the side. So this way you can stow it anywhere above you very easily and can unzip it and take your laptop out without having to pick the entire bag down and open it up.
The zip speed is very fast.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You can get in and out really fast.
Yes, I can. But what's great about this bag is it is TSA compliant, like I said, and just like he said, so that you can actually open it. So the compartment that has the laptop is completely separate from the compartment that can hold all your other stuff. Things like your zip, your thumb drives, your external hard drive, if you want to bring a couple along, keys, papers, other books, whatever else you need to carry in addition to your laptop. Power supply. When I was using it at CES, I was carrying, instead of in the separate bag that I had brought, my DSLR, I was carrying my laptop in the back compartment, my DSLR, an extra lens case in the bag, my external hard drive that I put my picture library on, all the thumb drives and printed materials that we picked up from the day, all in this one bag instead of what would have been making me use three or four different bags. And so when I flew home, it was the bag that I used, and I didn't have to take my laptop out of the bag because of the way that it opens from the bottom. So if you can imagine a bag as kind of a mouth.
Okay.
Stop it. Okay. You can open the mouth, and much like Canadians in South Park, it can open so that it's completely flat.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, the compartment with my laptop goes through first, then the compartment with my other stuff goes through, and I don't have to take the laptop out. So it makes travel so much easier. Uh-huh. So anybody with a laptop, absolutely, absolutely, if you're going to fly with it and you're going to fly more than twice a year, you definitely want to grab a hold of a bag that is TSA compliant so that you don't have to take your laptop out. And whether or not it's going to be this spec bag, I'll let you know soon. But what I will say is the patterns, oh, they're cute.
Super
ladies,
cute.
I love them. They're super kawaii.
Oh my god, I love kawaii.
So in this next piece, Evermore actually talks to Crystal Griffith of Audio Technica about their new line of vinyl turntables. You know, the kind that you would use to record your LPs to MP3s.
Hey, didn't Loosely talk about this on a show not too long ago?
Exactly. So enjoy new turntables from Audio Technica.
So it's a surprise in seeing that we're seeing reports that even vinyl sales are starting to go up again, which I think is a big surprise to everyone, including the music stores. And but, you know, I will say that what we're finding as far as the market is concerned is that we're getting people who are young, who might be inheriting their parents' old record collections or interested in vinyl again, because I think that sometimes we maybe have lacked the appreciation for what music can really end up sounding like. And I think once you discover how great LPs sound, it's something that you really want to get yourself into and throw yourself into, especially if you're passionate about music, which almost everyone is. So, but then we're also finding that there's an older crowd out there who's got, you know, their records that they want to download. You can't find a lot of these rare records, you know, in digital format these days or in CD format these days. So everybody wants to take that analog to digital. iPods are so popular, you know, MP3 players are so popular, so they want to get that music into their iPods and their MP3 players. When you see the way that music has changed, or at least the delivery of music has changed over the years, and like you said, we went from LPs to cassette tapes, then to digital. Thank God we went to digital for a while. Yeah, so it's absolutely a surprise, and it's absolutely great that I think people are going back to the LPs and going back to that that way that music was supposed to be heard, you know, the studio sound that you just can't replicate any other way. Definitely a surprise. And by the way, I mean, we still have the cartridges. We still have Styli that we sell, and it's not just to people who, you know, are replacing. It's to people who have new turntables and new systems that they're trying to get up and running. So, you know, that's always been a part of our business. And again, you know, we've seen it downward slope as far as sales is concerned.
Yeah.
But it's still a part of our business. And I think LPs and vinyl, I think, will always be a part of our culture.
So, I don't know about you, but I'm not too surprised that the youth is taking a very strong interest in vinyl records.
Absolutely not. You know, we grew up with vinyl, and I still love vinyl. As much as I enjoy the collection I have in my iTunes library, I am enjoying bringing in a lot of the vinyl that I have into digital, but still enjoying listening to the vinyl itself. And when this turntable that I have goes, I'm definitely going to be looking at replacing it, because I always want the option to deal with vinyl. So I think that it's no surprise. I mean, we love music, and there's no better, warmer, richer sound than vinyl. You don't get it digitally. And that's one quality that, you know, you can't really fake.
I mean, I look at it as this, you know, like they like to say that history likes to repeat itself, you know, and a lot of people think of that in terms of, like, war and famine and death and plague and, you know, biblical. Yeah, I can say that word.
Biblical.
Blah, blah, blah. The Bible stuff. But also, I mean, there's the history of love that repeats. There's the history of hate. There's the history of music. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that we're finally turning circle, and we're coming full circle, I should say, in the music area. So I'm not surprised at all. And I'm kind of glad to see the older crowd now trying to find this might be their gateway into the more, you know, the world of technology.
Absolutely.
So I'm very glad to see this happening.
And thank you to Crystal Griffith of Audio Technica for talking to us.
And then you can also check out the shows that we've got coming out of our camp, like the Boston Bash Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck, which is so much fun, and new episodes come out every Tuesday.
Did you just say butch?
Fun.
I thought you just said butch.
No, I said so damn fun.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I didn't say fudge.
Well, you just did.
I mean, now I said fudge, but before I didn't say
fudge. I swear I thought you said fudge before. It doesn't matter.
Which is so much fun, and new episodes come out. Which is so much fun, and new episodes come out. Which is so much fun, and new episodes come out. Which is so much fun, and new episodes come out. Which is so much fun, and new episodes come out. Which is so much fun, and new episodes come out.